This is Mr. Tolu Balogun. On the Work From Home podcast, I will be teaching you a lot of things you can do to upgrade your skills and be able to run a work from home business successfully. Stay with me and enjoy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Work From Home podcast. Today, I have Moyoros with me, and we have a very, very interesting topic that we'll be covering today. We'll be talking about apps that are going to help your productivity as an entrepreneur. And we have Molly here to walk us through that process. So, Molly, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Yes, hello. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Molly Rose Speed. I run a training and placement company for virtual assistants, and I've been serving entrepreneurs for over 10 years, and I am a productivity junkie. I love being efficient, getting things done in less time, having more time freedom. That's what I'm all about, and I help others do the same through outsourcing and productivity tips and hacks.
Okay, awesome. So what would you say about an entrepreneur who is wearing a lot of hats? I mean, I know a lot of entrepreneurs are on this table. I am there too. Being the accountant, being the social media manager, being the web designer, being the business person, serving people and doing all of this. What's your opinion about that?
So I think it's interesting when entrepreneurs start a business, you know, they start it because they want to do this one thing that they're passionate about. And they end up wearing what I call 27 different hats, kind of to what you just referenced. They're doing bookkeeping, they're social media, they're selling, they're building their website, they're doing their service that's actually making them money. They're handling travel booking and all sorts of things. And it makes us extremely unproductive. It makes us kind of dislike why we started our business in the first place. And it creates a job that we never signed up for, jobs. That's something I think we need to realize as entrepreneurs, and we don't have to do all of those things. Nothing says that. Yep.
So I purposely asked that because I believe that would set the tone for our discussion. So now, I know a lot of people are going to relate to that particular question, especially because, as you rightly said, when we are starting out as entrepreneurs, that is one thing we always do. Now, what would you say should be the first thing an entrepreneur should be ready to have someone else take care for them? I mean, you know, it's coming from the place where you are literally the jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. You are the one doing every single thing. So what should be the first thing that you should be ready to outsource as an entrepreneur that would make it easier for you or less worrisome for you from that point where you are feeling like, I can't give these things to anybody else, they can't do it like I do? But I believe there's that one or two or three things that we can do that would be pretty easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to point out that when you are starting a business, it's completely okay to do all the things. Like, we're not saying you have to spend the money right out the gate to hire other people. But I think the two things that are heavy hitters that I think really bog entrepreneurs down is your email inbox. Your email controls, in a lot of cases, unless you have a handle on it, your day, your mood, your cadence, everything. Like, email is just the worst. So outsourcing email to somebody is very, very helpful, or putting a system in place for yourself that you're going to check email from 30 minutes every morning and 30 minutes at the end of the day, and you're going to actually answer the emails. You're not going to just read them, shove them to the side. I have a whole theory on email. And also, the other bear that I think most entrepreneurs dislike is social media. You know, it's a necessary evil in this climate that we're all in, and we have to be on there. We have to be awake. We have to be engaging with our audience, marketing. So I think if you're not going to outsource it to someone, at least just pick one channel. Don't feel like you have to do them all. That's super important to me. But also outsourcing that and having a really streamlined process, and you can do that in a really cost-effective way, is another recommendation to get a lot more time back.
I love the way you said the cost-effective way. And I know you run a business that takes care of all of these to make life easier for people and much more. But to take it into perspective, how much should entrepreneurs that are listening to us be willing to, you know, set aside before they can say, okay, we want to reach out to Molly, visit our website and get to find out how we can work together. If they're like me, and I feel people listening to this show are kind of like me, they want to, when we see something this interesting, we want to be like, how much is it before I keep listening for that?
Yeah, yeah. So there's really two kind of VAs that I'm, virtual assistants that I'm seeing. And a lot of it's the location of where virtual assistants are. You know, there's different costs of living in different countries. You're in Nigeria, I'm in the States. So if you can get very, very specific, and this is how I started, you know, I had a lean business to start with, on what you need. So let's say it's just social media and you've been doing it for yourself and you have your templates and you have your 30 posts that you need created for the month and you just need them put in, you know, a nice little graphic and scheduled or whatever it is. That's a very specific task that anyone in any country can help support you with. And you can use things like Upwork, as I'm sure maybe you've heard of or have shared, to find more cost-effective virtual assistants in other countries. So that, you know, I back in the day, you might get a VA for $5. Now I think it's 10 US and basing it on and up to get a really quality person. And I still outsource design work overseas and have great people that work with me. And then if you're looking for kind of your right-hand person, in the US, you're kind of looking at $25 an hour. The pandemic's really raised our rates because the demand is so high. So that's kind of what we're seeing for that US-based. And with that, you're not just saying you have to be in the US to be able to have more thought behind it, but they're helping you a lot more than just being told exactly what to do. They're able to take a vision and say, okay, I got all the pieces of this. So you're kind of looking at two different levels. And there's people in the entire world that can operate on those two different wavelengths.
Yeah, totally, I agree. Thank you for mentioning that. And mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned Upwork, which is actually where I started getting my work. I started out as a VA on Upwork, and I remember starting at about $5 an hour, then I jumped to 10, then to 15, then I kept going higher as the demand for my work kept getting higher. And good enough, these days I've been able to build a community. And that is also one thing that people need to realize. I know a couple of VAs also listen to this. One thing you have to realize is for the VAs out there, learn to build a community. They know they can rely on you, because that's one of the most difficult things when it comes to finding someone online to work for you, especially from another country. You want to show and prove that you're reliable, that they can count on you, that when you say you're going to get something done, you're going to get it done. There are millions of people that can get stuff done out there, but one thing that I found to be the most difficult thing to get is reliable people. Mm-hmm. I mean, people just ghost you for like 2-3 days, sometimes weeks, and you don't hear from them at all. And you wonder, didn't I hire this person to work with me? So now, for you, in this perspective, how do you manage that relationship between clients and the VAs that they hire, such that there's no reason for the VAs to go AWOL, or even if they go AWOL, what is the approach that you, take into place?
Yeah, this is a really great point. And it does take, for entrepreneurs out there that are looking at hiring their first VA or first team member, it does take some testing, right? You might not nail it the first time. And I always say kind of put some test projects out there and see how people operate and communicate. But I think the word communicate, I just used it, is extremely important. So as a support person, a VA, a social media person, whatever your role is, you're the expert, right? So you need to have those checks and balances with your client. So on Mondays, I'm going to check in with you to see what we need to get done. And by Thursday or Friday, I'm going to have a delivery list of all the things that were completed. We'll ask questions in between. By just having that approach, if someone did that to me and they were coming to me from Upwork, I would be blown away. You know, so you kind of have to run it as your own business, even though they're the ones that have the business and they're the ones asking for the things, you're able to still provide a really unique quality service to others. And I think that's super important on both sides, if you're the entrepreneur or the VA.
Exactly. So as you rightly said, communication plays a very big role. We've talked about that a couple of times on this show. And when it comes to communication, it's one of the lessons that I've learned from people on this show is both of you need to decide what communication channel works best for you. Some people I'll just give a quick example. I had a client that typically just works on Skype. I have WhatsApp, I have Telegram, I have Signal, I have a whole lot of other platforms where I discuss with people, including Facebook Messenger. But I realized that this client is probably the only person that I communicate with on Skype. I use Skype just because of this one person. And then I realized that sometimes Skype just automatically logs out of my PC. And she might send messages, and for days I would not see it until I just say, oh, let me open Skype today, and I realize I've been logged out. In that case, what we now had to do was, I really think this Skype is not working for us, because I see that you sent this message 5 days ago, I'm just seeing it right now. And this has happened a couple of times. So before we even move forward with work, can you please let us solve this issue of communication? Then she goes, what is the best communication channel for you? I said, I have WhatsApp, I have Facebook Messenger. Those are the top two that I use the most. Whichever one is comfortable for you, I would use. Said, which one are you on? Always. I said, my Facebook Messenger is always open.
Yes.
Within 3 minutes, she already sent me a message on Facebook. And we've been good since then. So, I mean, the value that communication takes is really, really high up the list. So we need to, make sure that we take care of the communication at both sides to see what works for each person. It's not like we shouldn't be flexible. We should be flexible, but you know the way technology is, I have no explanation for why Skype would just automatically log out of my PC. I have no answers for that. So we need to find what works, especially from the area of communication. So now, what are some apps that entrepreneurs can use to make their lives easier, since we want them to be very productive?
Yes.
So, those apps should work for them, whether they're ready to hire some a VA or they just want to make their life simpler before they find enough money to hire a VA.
Yes, this is so important. So I just want to mention something. On the client side and the VA side, even if you're working with one client and they use 5 different channels of communication, text, email, WhatsApp, Facebook, Asana, which I'll talk about in a second, nothing is organized. Like, that's so unproductive. You're just chasing the threads, and it is really tiresome for the person providing the service, the VA or the support person. It's exhausting. So I always teach that you have to have a clear channel with your clients. Like, pick one thing, and then you have this SOS channel, I call it. So you're welcome to WhatsApp me or text me if things are just hitting the fan and you need help right now, but for the day-to-day. And my number one thing is a project management tool called Asana. You may have talked about it or heard about it. I just think it's a brilliant way for an assistant or a support team to work with a client or the entrepreneurs just to manage their own thoughts. Like, when I'm not working with team members, I just put my whole to-do list in there. I have my notes in there. I have my due dates. I have links to all the Google Docs that I'm working on or my processes. And it is a brilliant way to work. I have such good things to say about it. Trello, Slack, a lot of people use other tools like that. Asana is my hands down go-to.
Awesome. Yeah, I believe I've talked about Trello on this podcast before. I've also talked about all the other tools. I definitely took an episode to talk about Trello because Trello is like my go-to, just like Asana is yours. But before Trello became my go-to, Asana was my go-to because it's very intuitive. It feels like you know what to do once you open it.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike all the other apps, Trello definitely has a learning curve. Monday.com is a bit confusing. Airtable can get a bit intimidating too. Asana gets it really well with the user interface. But I had to switch to Trello because I felt it was more powerful.
Okay.
And could handle my style better. Kudos to Asana. They've done a great job. And I still have clients that use Asana and I use it with them, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, my preference is Trello right now. But before I got to that level of falling in love with Trello, Asana was my go-to. And if you're out there, you are wondering, what tool can you use to make yourself more productive? The thing is, you need a productivity tool that takes care of task management and all of that. If you want something that you can use like right away, easily, I would say go for Asana. It's so easy to use. You would get it as in once. You don't have to task your brain or anything. And make sure you choose a task management tool, a productivity tool. It's very, very key to making your life easier, because literally, if you program your life and say, okay, this is how much I spend, maybe 15 hours, or let's say, don't let me be ridiculous, let's say you spend 7 hours a day working, and take that same 7 hours a day for when you are not using a productivity tool, and you take that same 7 hours a day to when you are using a productivity tool plus time blocking, the difference is very, very insane. And you were like, and maybe you go like 2 weeks into using the productivity tool plus time blocking, you would definitely ask yourself questions like, how did I survive before I started using this productivity and time blocking methodology? So it's very important to simplify your life by doing these things, because those are some of the ways you can take some time back for yourself to be able to provide value for people around you. And don't forget, those tools that you have right there also are also a great way to help you learn how to transfer work to your VA. So, but for me right now, the most confusing thing, I must say, is when you talked about the email management. Now, if I'm getting a VA to manage my email, how does that work?
Yes, I love this. And also kudos to talking about time blocking with project management. That's key. I love that. So email, talked about how it bogs you down. So I created an Inbox Zero course. You're welcome to check it out. But if you think about all the email is a tool for other people to take your time away from you, right? You have no control. People are contacting you, expect you to answer. So when I work with an assistant in my inbox, I expect them to come in every morning and clean out all the junk, unsubscribe to things, and start to kind of get to know my business, right? They'll, by just reading your emails, they'll be able to understand what you do, how to respond to clients, how to respond on your behalf, and it'll just start to happen. So kind of get them in there organizing things. Like these are, start starring the things that are money related that need to be answered right away. And then the other stuff is just that general admin email that eventually the VA can start responding to on your behalf. So truly getting someone in there is key, and having that type of system where every day they're checking it, alerting you to the SOS things, as I say, and then beginning, you know, maybe 4 weeks in to start practicing responding. And that can look like just creating the drafts that you then go in and review and make sure that they're kind of on track, and then they'll be off to the races sooner than you know.
Awesome. That's great. So you have listened and you have learned a little bit of that. So if you want to go in depth, make sure you purchase the Inbox Zero course. I think that is something that is very reasonable and is going to be worth the investment. So don't think twice about it, especially if you're like me with 1,948 messages unread.
Oh my gosh. I've seen worse.
All right. So now let's talk about what happens when you want to, you know, designate more out. You already have your VAs, your social media managers taking care of things, and now you want to give out, you want to outsource more work so that you have more time to work on your clients. Let's say you're starting to get more clients. What would you usually advise for people, especially with the hiring process? I know you've mentioned about trial and errors. What other ways do you advise for people to hire more people to work for them? And what are some of the tasks that would usually be next on the list?
Yeah, two answers here. One, don't look past your existing team. So if you have a VA and a social media person, it's likely they do other things. So ask them if you trust them and they're already a part of your business, if they can take on another role. That gets overlooked more than you would think. And even working in Upwork, I have contractors I work with and I'm like, do you do this as well? And didn't even know they did, just asked, and now I have another thing to outsource. But then some common tasks and things to be outsourcing are, if you create any type of content, like a podcast, a YouTube channel, a blog, you outsource that. Have someone edit it for you, post it to your website, post it on your social channels, create the graphic. Like there's so many little steps that go into just producing a podcast and sharing it. We kind of talked about email, but I think customer support is a huge thing. You know, are there questions answered? Is the month going well? Just asking those questions. Is there anything else we can take off of your plate? In sending the invoice at the end of the month. Scheduling is super tedious, so if you don't have a scheduler. Travel booking. I'm trying to think what else. A lot of project management. As you kind of get higher level virtual assistants, they can come in and help you manage big projects and then hire the contractors for you. That's a little bit more advanced, but I always say, and this is in the guide that we'll mention at the end, but take a few weeks and write down all the things that you do in your business. Or even in your day, you check your email, you scheduled something, you hopped on a podcast, you called your mom, you ordered Amazon cards, whatever, right? And then at the end of 2 weeks, walk away and come back and circle all the things that you actually have to do. So you're physically doing the podcast interviews, you have to call your mom, but you don't have to do the Amazon purchases or send the invoice or check your email. Someone else can do all those things. So that starts to create this outsourcing list for yourself. And again, it comes all the way back to being productive, staying on task with what generates the most income for you and outsourcing the things that don't at a much lower cost. So, and really one last thing to recognize is then with that time freedom, you need to do something with it. Either get another client that's going to drive more revenue or spend time with your family because that's what's important to you. Whatever it is, don't just keep doing more busy work. I think that's super important.
Yeah, absolutely. And to add to that, I've had a chat with someone on this show before, I can't remember who, where I explained this concept of what should you do with your time when you're saying, now I want to have free time. He explains it like this. Take your time and say, okay, what are the key, just like you're outlined, and I'm sure it's probably in your guide, what are the things that I am the best person to do this, and these things will generate revenue for this business? So you write down those tasks, and then those ones are one side, then you write every other task that you have to do. So those ones that you have to do that generate revenue for your business, you want to do those at least, you recommend, I think, about 30 minutes to 2 hours every day working on that. So for you to claim 30 minutes to 240 minutes doing those things that generate revenue for you, you have to be able to free up that time. And you free up that time by getting people to fill in on all those other things that you need to get done, that probably you are going to be able to get people to do it. And you can get people from different price ranges depending on what you are looking for. Just as you said, on Upwork, you can get VAs for as cheap as $5 an hour, you can get $7 an hour, you can get 10. You would even see VAs that charge as much as even $15 or $25 an hour on Upwork.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on what you're willing to spend. And having a detailed outline of what they need to do makes it easier to understand what you need them to do. And you also need to be sometimes patient with them, give them about like some 2 weeks to be able to, you know, find the right balance between what you do. And 2 weeks is a good enough time to be able to measure if they're the right fit for you. So 2 to 4 weeks, actually. But I believe within 2 weeks, you're already seeing signs that, okay, this person would be able to get the job done. So always put that also in perspective. Now, since we're already talking about outsourcing, and definitely you have a free outsourcing guide to give people. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you can get, you would have to pay for with money, and I advise you to pay for those. But this one is a very free guide, and it's going to make your whole life easier. Please, Molly, tell them about.
Yeah, just go to outsourceresource.co, and there's a free guide for you to download, and it'll walk through what we talked about the structure of identifying what you need to get off your plate so you could do more of what you love.
Awesome. So thank you very much, Molly, for joining us on the Work From Home podcast. You've been very, very generous.
Thank you.
And, I mean, clarifying a lot of issues. I personally have learned a lot. I mean, with you explaining, simplifying the email and talking about the Inbox Zero guide, that's definitely something I would be interested in having a look at. And I'm sure a lot of busy entrepreneurs out there too would want to jump on that. So I advise you to jump on the Inbox Zero guide right away. And we both know you need it. So guys, get it right away. So thank you guys for joining us on the Work From Home podcast. Any last words for our listeners, Molly?
No, I think just remember that you don't have to wear 27 hats in your business. And there's ways out of it.
Exactly.
So I thank you for having me today. And mollyrosespeed.com is where you can find any information on me as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you very much. So have a very great week, guys. Next week, I'll be coming with another guest, and we are going to have another show time on the Work From Home podcast.